Sometimes I am rejected and I feel so all alone. Then I try to reach my father and I know he'll be home. For when life gets hard to handle and I'm fearful and alarmed, I get anxious to find Jesus and he stands with open arms. I got a hold of God this morning. I talk directly to the throne. Oh, I went and broken hearted, so afraid and so
the precious Holy One. As I waited there in silence, I knew that he would come. Then I saw the light of heaven. He came right into my room. When I felt his presence touch me, oh, I knew that I prayed through.
I got a hold of God this morning.
The book of Acts, chapter 1. Praise that name of a mighty God. Early this week, Monday, I think it was, no later than Tuesday, the Holy Ghost really laid a message on my heart. It took hold of me. It gripped me. And all week, I've lived with this message coming at me. I found out that Brother Gans preached something similar last Sunday night. And Brother Marlin, without knowing, was right on the same subject yesterday morning. The men's fellowship. It was really wonderful. I tell you, everybody should have heard Brother Marlin yesterday. It was as wonderful as I ever remember. A layman saying the things he said out of the Bible. It was wonderful. Oh, I wish everybody came to the Saturday morning breakfast every first Saturday of the month. Every first Saturday. And we don't do it now until 9 o'clock. That's to help the late sleepers. And I actually love it. Hallelujah. You understand, don't you? Well, the book of Acts, chapter 1, great book of the Bible, full of so much wonderful truth. We're going to read together a number of verses from this first chapter. Let's begin, if we might, at verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And I'm going to preach on ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. When they therefore will come together, they asked of Jesus, of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. Would you say that word, power? Come on, say it together. You shall receive power. Think about it. How many people do you know that claim the baptism of the Holy Ghost that have no power? Show no evidence of power. Express no force of power, even in the prayer life. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But ye shall receive power. I've never preached on those four words just like that. In fact, I've never felt them like I felt them this week. Ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. Now, those words are powerful. And they were some of the last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended up to heaven. If there was an amen to all of his earthly ministry, these words had to be his amen. His amen while he was present on earth. I know Revelation 2 and 3 are his last letters, but he wrote them in his glorification, giving them to John. But these words spoken in the flesh, well, no, in his glorified body, but on the earth while he was still here before he ascended. Ye shall receive power. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. And I ask you to hear the word carefully this morning. There's a number of scriptures I'd like to read. So please keep your Bible in your hand. Keep your Bible open. And let's talk about this great promise. Ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. The word power, it comes from a Greek word, dunamis. Can you hear dynamite in that? Dunamis, dynamite. Dunamis, dynamite. If you have a Greek dictionary, it's 1411. If you want to look it up, some have it on their phones nowadays, and you can find it almost instantly. Well, what does this word power mean in this setting? What was Jesus promising them? What was he saying was going to happen to them? They were going to receive dunamis. They were going to receive power. Well, in the study of that word, it means some wonderful things. It means some powerful things. It means strength. It means a force. A force. It means authority. It means miracles. It means a wonderful work. A wonderful work. Ye shall receive power. You're going to do a marvelous work. You're going to do a supernatural work. You're going to do a work bigger than man, bigger than flesh, because ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. Now, I love to study words. I've always been a student of words in the Bible and what they mean. And I love that word dynamite. I love that word dunamis. Now, let me tell you the first thing I see it means. There's a kingdom that's being established on the earth. It is the body of Jesus Christ representing this kingdom called the church. The church. And the church had a responsibility that the Lord was giving that church. And so he was giving them authority or power. And the power was to possess for the church, to possess his kingdom on earth for the church. That's what it meant. They were being told, I'm going to give you power. I'm going to send you out. And you're going out there to possess the kingdom for me. He's already said that the kingdom cometh not with observation, but it's to be in you. You are the kingdom. The kingdom is within, and you are to go out there and possess the kingdom. When Paul got as far as Macedonia, you know what they said to him? They that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Macedonia was probably near 1,000 miles from Jerusalem. 1,000 miles from Jerusalem. Way across the Sea of Galilee. Way north of Italy. Way over there in Asia or past Asia Minor. And they said, we've already heard about you. What? Why, Brother Chambers? They were possessing the kingdom. They were possessing the kingdom. And so the whole idea of this power was power to possess the kingdom. Power to possess the kingdom. Now, how were they going to possess the kingdom unless they understood this word power, which meant authority? They were going out into the devil's territory. If you don't believe it was the devil's territory, you just study a little bit about that day. You study a little bit about those barbarians and pagans and wicked people. And even the Jews hated this new message of Jesus Christ. And so it was a dangerous world. But they were told they would have power to possess the kingdom. To possess the kingdom and to literally establish his kingdom on the earth. The church is the kingdom of Jesus Christ on the earth. Do we understand that? And so, if you're going to possess a kingdom, somebody's got to have some power. And he said, ye shall receive power. Oh, I like those words. Ye shall receive power. I've been kind of disgusted with me. I don't know whether you ever get disgusted with yourself or not, but I've been kind of disgusted with me, Brother Marlon. I haven't seen miracles like I did in the early years of my ministry. I haven't seen a gutter disappear in a long time. I haven't seen some things that are available and should be a part of the church in some time. And I am determined to have this power he said I could have. Hallelujah. Somebody raise a hand if you would like to be possessed by this kind of power. How many of you would like to help take the kingdom for Jesus Christ? How many of you would like to do something about that ungodliness that's gripping America? The problem isn't the White House, it's God's house. And if we will understand that he sent us to possess the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To act in his authority. To act in his authority. Now, if somebody tells you, do you go and act in my authority, that means total. That means whatever authority they had, you now have it. And so in their authority, you go to possess the kingdom. Jesus came to set up his kingdom on the earth. Jesus came to establish his church. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, how did he know the gates of hell would not prevail against it? Was because he was going to establish this group of people. He was going to give them the same power he had had. He was going to send them with his authority. And he was going to tell them, you go now and possess my kingdom. If Charlotte gets possessed for Christ, then somebody's got to do it. If Charlotte gets moved for Christ, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to wade right into the devil's territory and look him square in the eye and say, devil, I've come to take the kingdom away from you and establish the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I feel it in my heart. Hallelujah. God wants this church to help establish the kingdom in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're not putting no other church out of business. We're not coming against no other church. We're not fighting with nobody's church. We just want to do our duty. We want to do our part, and God will take care of the rest. When God really begins to work, you don't need nobody fighting for you. God will do it for you himself. Woo! Hallelujah. So God has given authority. Ye shall receive authority. You shall receive dunamis. You shall receive power. You shall receive miracle-working ability. Have you got it or don't you got it? Bad English, I'm sorry. Have you got it or do you not have it? How many of you claim to be full of the Holy Ghost and you've never done anything of any degree miraculously for Jesus Christ? Huh? How many? The church is full of people in that state of mind, in that state of attitude. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully, and I really believe this. I'm going to say something very strong. It's very strong. Do you know that this power is power to actually defeat the devil? Did you know that this power is for us to override and defeat and stop and hinder everything the devil is trying to do? I don't care what it is. If the devil's doing it, Jesus has power against it and over it. And he gave that power to you. Hey, he gave it to you. Hey, little lady, he gave it to you. Hey, little teenager, he gave it to you. Hey, brothers, he gave you power to defeat the devil. And we cringe at the devil's booing. All the devil's got to do in most people's life is say a couple of boos, and they're scared to death, and they're hiding under the bed. Come on, church, get out from under your bed and get with it, and let the power of God become mighty in your life, and your pastor and you together and us together, Brother Gans together, and all of you together, we can take the kingdom for Jesus Christ. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to go with me to Ephesians 4 and 27. I want to make sure I don't preach anything I don't establish on this Bible. Ephesians 4 and 27. I love this holy book. It's powerful. Ephesians 4, 27. Now listen to this. Are you ready? Neither give place to the devil. Did anybody hear that? How about saying those words with me? Neither give place to the devil. I don't ever remember preaching on that scripture. That's just overwhelming to me. That here's the devil. And you're going about your responsibility, and you're going about your life, and he comes and goes working against you, and you go to call and, oh, please pray for me. I mean, we're really having a battle with the devil. We need you to pray. Why don't you get off your seat and get on your feet and look the devil square in the eyes and say, hey, devil, hold it here. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the power of Christ, and I'm not going to make no place for you. I'm not going to give you no leeway here in my life. I'm not going to give you some place in our church to do your dark work. Neither give place to the devil. so it's like, oh, whoa, that overwhelms me. Neither give place to the devil. He has no right to take his place on your doorsteps. You've got to run somebody. Oh, somebody help me. Raise your hand and just worship a moment. I'll celebrate. Hallelujah. Neither give place to the devil. Man, I like that. Woo! He don't have a place. Everything the devil does, he's an invader. He comes in deceiving power. He has no right. He has authority up in the midair, but he don't have no authority in this church. And he don't have no authority in your life if you've been born again. And he don't have no authority in your home. Oh, devil, you've had a field day in my home. But, devil, your jig is up. I'm here to tell you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're going to take some things back from the devil. We're going to reach right into his stronghold and say, hold it, devil. I'm getting you out. Somebody, you got to help me, church. Oh, this is overwhelming to me. It's overwhelming to me. He said, neither give place to the devil. Now, why? Because ye shall receive dynamite. Let's just use that word, the dynamite. Ye shall receive dynamite. Everybody's got the dynamite in them. Stand up. You're slow, some of you standing up. But I understand you're old like I am. Raise your hand if you believe this. Raise your hand if you have no right, or I should say the devil has no right to set up his reign around your house, around your life, in your family, in your church, in your Sunday school class, wherever your work is, neither give place to the devil. Hallelujah. I don't know how to preach. All I want to do is shout. Sometimes I get to preaching like this, and I just want to shout it out. I don't even want to preach it out. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, God has given us right over the devil. He's an invader. He's a liar. He's a liar. A squaddler. Is that the word you use? Squatter. I like that. He's a squatter. Some of you have got him sitting in your living room. Now, I'm not talking about television, but that's not far off. Hallelujah. Oh, but church, neither give place to the devil. Now, you got to be seated, because I got some things I got to preach this morning. Let me tell you, one of the most important, the most magnificent, what's the best word I can use? Dynamite. Place. Of this power is the power of prayer. There will be no power in your life if there's not power in your prayer. Some of you remember, I was on my way up to preach for Joey Yates some 20 years ago. I was praying. I was weeping for sinners. The Lord spoke to me and said, the sinner don't get saved in your altar. Your sinners get saved in somebody's prayer closet. The altar is just where the commitment is made, where the experience is experienced, where the miracle fully happens. But somebody praying somewhere is the reason that people get right with God. You can pray in power that will shake the kingdom of the devil. I've heard it said ever since I was saved, the devil trembles when he sees a saint of God on their knees. I'm not even sure that's true today, because I think most praying is nothing but whining. I think most praying is nothing but wimpy stuff. I think most praying is so powerless and so ineffective that it's hardly worth your time. But let me tell you something. You start praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive power. You start praying in that magnificent power of the third member of the Godhead. You start praying with that anointing from the heavenly realm that sets upon your soul and fills your being with power. And I'm promising you, you're going to get results. Oh, hallelujah. Now we need to look at the Bible. Does the Bible really say these things? Go to Matthew 15. I'm not going to be able to have them all, Well, let's make sure we get the right ones. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18, the words of Jesus. And I say also unto thee, thou art Marlon. Thou art Dylan. Thou art Derek. Thou art Joe. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Something is wrong in the church world when the devil has more right of way than God has in churches. The devil's doing his damage, and nobody has the courage to stand up and yell, "Stop it, devil, you're not going no further." I'm telling you, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want the devil to know this morning, I declare before him in his power, I'm nothing but a little fella, just a small preacher, and kind of old and outdated. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to give vent to that rascal any longer. I'm tired of it. Devil, take your hand off of Paul Creek Church. Take your hand off of my dear people. Take your hand off of saintly, godly people who know and love the Lord, because devil, you're defeated. Say, devil, you're defeated. Come on, say it loud. Devil, you're defeated. I claim your brother, Sister Ginger. I claim your brother. I'm telling you, he's going to be right with God. I'm claiming so many. Hallelujah. Come on, church. We don't have to put up with the devil's doings. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell. You know what gates represent, don't you? That's the doorway in his domain. That's the doorway into all of his authority and power. Devil, you just forget what's happened to you, and the church has let you forget. But we're reminding you this morning, your power is not going to prevail against the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Brother Marlon, he wants to do something in this place. He wants to turn this place upside down. Hallelujah. You know what I told my radio audience yesterday? I said, 40-some years, I've exposed every false doctrine I can imagine. That day is over. From this day forward, I'm going to be a man of miracles and wonders and the supernatural working of God. And we're going to get into the middle of this old-fashioned gospel, the middle of this Bible. We're going to shake Charlotte. We're going to shake every place we can shake. Listen to me now. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, let's don't stop there. Let's read the next verse. The next verse is almost more powerful. Listen. For whosoever... Hallelujah. I got my Bible moved here. I'm sorry. Verse 19. Now I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. What did I say at the beginning of this sermon? What do you get when you get this Holy Ghost authority? You get the key, power. But what a power. Power's keys. Anybody got any keys? Let me see somebody's ringer here. Let me see his. Oh, that ring of keys. I'll go to that big old truck out there. That'll go probably to the place he works. You can steal a gob of stuff with them keys. They're the keys to your kingdom, physical speaking. That's what he's trying to talk about. He says, I will give you the keys to the devil's kingdom, to the kingdoms of this earth, to the unsaved family members, to the unsaved loved ones, to those people down the street, to those people that you work with, wherever you live. It don't matter. He said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever, listen now, you got to hear it, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You mean that you can bind some old demon from your prayer place on earth and heaven puts a lock on him? Hallelujah. Now that's exactly what he's saying. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Brother Terry over there, listen to me. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you put the lock on, God puts a lock on it. The lock is in your hands, not in the Father's hands. We get all mad at God, and I hear God being criticized. Why do you let this happen? Why do you let that happen? Why do you let that happen? We let it happen. I was praying one time for a person, and I said, God, don't let him go to hell. And the Holy Ghost said to me before I could get the last word out of my mouth, you don't let him go to hell. Someone raise your hand with me now. I'm trying to slow up a little bit. I don't want to preach too long, but I want you to understand something, church. He said it. I will give you power. 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 I want to preach there a long time, but I know I must not. Listen to me. Listen to me. There's something else that's mighty powerful, and that's the Word of God. So you may be seated. Go with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Oh, I love these scriptures. Let's go to verse 4. 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, verse chapter 4. Verse 3. Chapter 4, verse 3. Have you got it? If you got it, say amen. But if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And listen now, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, are you listening? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? How many are listening to that? Can I read it again? Read it with me, would you? Listen. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the interpretation as I perceive it, and I believe I'm right. Just like God said, let there be light. And light spread across the great domain of this earth. And as light spread, the darkness vanished and ran away. And this earth was lightened with the light of God. Now he says, he's given us the gospel. And now he lets that light of heaven shine through us to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to those who watch us and listen to us and hear us. Did you know if you become full of this Holy Ghost power, you will so stare people around you, you won't need to run your mouth and make them mad like I've done many times through the years. You won't need just to condemn them. You won't need to do anything but let the light shine. Let the Holy Ghost shine. Let the power of the gospel shine. Let the light of heaven break forth upon your being, upon your life, upon your face, upon your words, upon your being until men are shaken. Oh, see. Oh! It's normal for God's people to be like this. We are a light from heaven. Now, you already read that first verse. The gospel is here to them. They can't see the gospel. They can't hear the gospel. But when the gospel starts shining in your face and shining in your life, they'll hear it. That's how people used to get saved, by the hundreds and the thousands in great revival settings. That's how God used to move through a church with such power, until people would come and say, I was going up the street and I just felt like I had to come in. I remember the church I was saved in. They had light, they had fire that settled upon the roof, and the fire people came, but it wasn't the kind of fire they could put out. It was Holy Ghost fire. Let me tell you, this church has got to have that Holy Ghost fire.
We got to have that power. We got to have that light, that life, that movement of the power of the Spirit that shakes this city. And I'm ready for it. I'm telling you, I hope you can see fire in my eyes, because I'm determined this morning to see the glory and the majesty of the Lord God. I want to see the name of Jesus lifted up until men reverence him again. You can't tell much of this world about God because they've never seen him acting. You let him start acting. You let him start showing up in you. Oh, great day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I can go on and find scriptures that show the preaching of the Bible is to be just this. The preaching of the Word of God. You're not just out there to give them the letter of the law. You ought to give them the power of the law. The letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh life. Raise your hand and say that. The letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh life. Come on, raise it high. The letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh life. Hallelujah. Oh, God, give us a visitation of the Holy Ghost like this church has never known. I'm claiming it. I don't know when it's going to start. It may start tonight, Brother Gans. Okay with me? I don't want no credit. I think something good has happened to me. I think I've got so old. And sometimes a little bit helpless, that I could care less for the glory anymore. I want him to get it. Would you say, I want him to get it? Come on, raise your hand and tell God you want him to have the glory. You want him to have the praise. You want Charlotte, North Carolina to know there's a God in Israel. There's a God in the church. There's a God who sits on his throne. There's a God who reigns in the heavens. There's a God who's going to have the last word. And we're just in the final hours, right before the marvelous revelation of his divine judgment. Hallelujah. And let's win souls as we come to that hour. So there's power in prayer. The Bible says it. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Jesus said in Matthew, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. How many can see the violence around us? Remember the streets of Charlotte? Remember the streets of other cities around America? Remember what comes up on your TV set? Remember what's on your internet and your Facebook? I thought Facebook would be pretty good, but it's so full of junk it makes me sick. Because there's violence everywhere. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. But there are some folks that can take it back. Who are they? The violent shall take it. How? What? Did you understand the meaning of that word dunamis? It means force, Brother Ken. You're the one found it for me. It means force. And so the Bible says the violent shall take it by force. He didn't mean their force. They meant the force, the Holy Ghost force. The Holy Ghost is dynamic force. The Holy Ghost is supernatural force. And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be a witness unto me. That means men and women will see Jesus in you as you go about the business, as you go about your work and your calling. One more thing. Power to see signs and wonders. I remember Donna Sizemore. You remember Donna? One of the greatest pianists we could have ever had. Donna got sick. She had the flu bug so bad. I mean, she was really sick. You know, you can die from that. And she was sick. And I went two or three times to pray. And every time I prayed in her home, it was like the heavens were brass. And Donna got worse. And somebody told me the other day, "Brother Samuels, you prayed for me, but I've been worse ever since." Well, that happens sometimes. Somebody starts praying in faith, and the devil doubles down. You need to pray again. Somebody needs to fast. I remember leaving Donna's house, and I said, "I'm going home, Donna. And when I come back, you'll get healed." And I fasted and prayed for 3 days. I mean, just got on my face and stayed there. And I won't forget when the power came. I got in my car and went to the trailer. They was living in a mobile home down here off of Freedom, below Paul Creek. I went to their home, laid my hands on her head, and the devil gave up. And the sickness disappeared. because I stayed on my face till I got a hold of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are people sitting all over this building in front of me. You've got some tough things in your life facing you. You got some situations in front of you and around you and on your job. You got some situations in your family. You got some situations in your life. Now, I want to tell you something. You take this scripture. I've given you these scriptures for serious, and you get a hold of God. You start fasting and praying. You get on your knees. And when you pray, don't be mealy mouth. I get amazed at people praying anymore. I remember when I first got saved, if somebody come to the altar and laid their head down on the altar, you know what we said to them? We said, it's not down there. It's up there. Lift up your head. You remember that? It's not down there. It's up there. Lift up your head. Let's quit praying like we're wimpy and mealy-mouthed and have little faith. Let's start praying like men of God and women of God. I want to hear you when you pray. I want to feel you when you pray. Woo! Somebody help me preach. It's late, church, but it's not too late. Hey, that's good. I hadn't thought about that. It's late, but it's not too late. Hallelujah. Brother Lawless, it's late, but it isn't too late. Hallelujah. Everybody in this building, would you stand on your feet if you are hungry for this power I'm preaching about this morning? If you're hungry for this anointing of the Holy Ghost that sets you on fire, I'm here to tell you, when you teach things of the Bible, they're wonderful. But when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and they flow by the Spirit, they will transform lives. And I got to see it. I got to see it. I'm dying for my family. I'm dying for my family. Your family too. I want a Holy Ghost breakthrough, Brother Marlon. I want a Holy Ghost breakthrough, Brother Dylan. I want a Holy Ghost breakthrough. Sir, I want a Holy Ghost breakthrough. You want one in your life? How many of you want this kind of power in your life? Let me see your hand. You want this Holy Ghost anointing. You want this power. I'm here to tell you, now God will give it to you if you ask him. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said it. Jesus said it. St. John 7. Anybody thirsty? If you're thirsty, let me see your hand. If you're really thirsty. Are you really thirsty? Now, are you willing to open up and drink and drink and drink and drink? Now, I want you to meet me in this altar. We won't be long unless God moves and shakes us, and I hope he does. But meet me in this altar, and let's hear you pray. I want to hear you do some praying like you mean business. Quit mealy-mouthing now and start praying with all the soul and strength you have. Raise your voice and raise your hands and cry out to God. He'll hear you. Pray, brethren. Pray, ladies. Hallelujah. 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 I believe it, Lord. I believe it, Lord. The devil is going to get a black eye like he's never had, Lord. Pray, church. Pray, church. Yeah, look, I said, learn how to pray with all your heart. Learn how to pray with earnestness. Learn how to pray with power. I'm listening to hear you praying, saints. I want you to pray, saints. I want you to pray with all you got. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, you said you shall receive power. I'm claiming that power right now. Hallelujah. I've felt it all week, Lord, coming like a storm at me. I claim it like I've never known it. I claim great miracles and wonders and mighty healings. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Mighty God, we will not make place for the devil another day longer, Father. We will not allow him to invade our ranks. We'll not allow him to walk through our houses. We'll not allow him to move through our church. We'll not allow him to move through our school, Lord. We will take authority. Oh, I want y'all praying. I want to hear y'all praying, church. I really do. I want to hear you praying, church. Cry out to God. Pray together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we really are giving ourselves for a new day. We're giving ourselves for a new adventure. We're giving ourselves for a new visitation. We're giving ourselves for the move of heaven that shakes our city. We believe you for the bus ministry. We believe you for visitation. We believe you for knocking on doors. We believe you for the neighbors, for our children and our grandchildren and our family members, God. We believe in you. We believe in it. We're not going to give up. We're not going to back up. We're not going to throw up. We're going to give all we got, Father, and do your business.
There's a covenant sweet. It was written for me. It's a promise that I could be healed from all my sin and my shame, even heartache.
A judge who grants mercy.